You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We haven't talked to him in a bit. He is Dave Lennon. David, how are you?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
Doing well. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N, and he always has tremendous insight, so we appreciate the time. Dave, first of all, are these two sides really this dumb?
That's a good way to kick things off, Chris. Let's just get right to the point here. That's a question that a lot of people are asking right now after what's come out today. And, you know, between these two sides, Chris, it's not like we haven't seen this type of rhetoric before. You know, it does come up from time to time. And I'd like to remind everybody that it wasn't that long ago, March 26th to be exact, that we were talking about all the goodwill that was happening between the union and Major League Baseball and how this could spill over the next CBA bargaining in 2021 and how everybody was all together on this. And boy, that disintegrated quickly.
Well, with that in mind, are the players, first of all, let's go to their side. Are they just so deathly afraid that this is going to lead a cap beyond this? Because they are classifying this proposed revenue split as a salary cap. That's how Tony Clark has positioned it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this, Chris, is that MLB knows that saying revenue sharing is like a third rail to the union. I mean, it's just a radioactive term. And to even suggest that, as we saw today, just throws them into a frenzy. You know, so I was wondering if there isn't a better way to kind of ease into this, you know, because, listen, it's a temporary thing, what they're going to do to finish this year, right? They're operating under a CBA at the moment, you know, that doesn't have revenue sharing. So anything that's installed here is just to get through this season, to find some way to get games on the field. So to all of a sudden introduce something that's termed revenue sharing into this, yeah, I have to think that MLB had to almost know the reaction it was going to provoke. They have to know it's a non-starter with the union, regardless of the situation we're in.
So, Dave, is Major League Baseball counting on the players getting painted in a poorer light than the owners in this?
Well, I think in any negotiating series, Chris, as we know, is that you're looking for the upper hand. You're looking for leverage. And this is part of that. You know, it's a tough situation to do it during a pandemic and trying to get baseball up and running again. But as we've seen in the past couple of days, you know, there has been some jostling for position here. I mean, a few weeks back, Tony Clark, when this came up initially, you know, he said, hey, listen, we already negotiated the terms of player salaries if we get the game going again. And that was to be prorated. The contracts were going to pick back up and players are going to be paid according to how many games were played. That's closed. That part's done. We negotiated that. It's over. So their stance hasn't changed on it. MLB kind of left a little bit open in that same agreement. They left a clause that said they would have to open up talks again if it turned out to be playing in front of no fans or playing at neutral sites. And obviously that's what we're looking at right now.
Well, that's what we're I think that's really where I think people are going to look at the players and say, well, they don't have any money coming in outside of the television money. So how can you not be expected to take a pay cut at this point, considering what's going on?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I don't think this will be tanked over money. I think these guys will be able to come to some sort of terms. You know, the players understand there's less money coming in. And listen, Chris, you know, some money is better than zero money. So I think you have to understand that there can be some negotiating room here. I know that Tony Clark is taking a very hardline stance, and the union has as well. Like I said, the revenue sharing terminology did not help in that capacity. But I have to think that they can get through some kind of negotiation on the money part to make this happen.
Dave Lennon of Newsday joining us right now. All right, give me the owner's perspective right now, Dave.
Well, I mean, the owners right now, listen, I know everybody wants to paint these guys as billionaires, and they are. I'm not saying they're not. But the losses they've taken so far in the first 2 months of the season, they're legit. I mean, when you hear numbers about, you know, them losing, you know, having 40% of their income or as much as 50% locally dependent on gate related revenues, I mean, that's real. I just crunched some numbers myself just with the Yankees yesterday. I mean, the Yankees aren't hurting for money, obviously, but the losses, this isn't just about selling tickets. People shouldn't confuse gate with tickets. It's everything. It's concessions. It's sponsorships. It's parking. It's buying T-shirts at the stadium. And as we know, going to Yankee Stadium is not an inexpensive experience. The average ticket price is $52. So I figured out just to get in the door for the year, the Yankees drew about $3.3 million. Just to get in the door, the Yankees were making $175 million off that in last year alone. So the owners are losing money here, clearly. You know, I'm not saying they're broke, but they are taking a legitimate financial hit here, and they're not going to have that for the remainder of the year, Chris. They're not going to play in front of fans. We should just forget the fan thing. If we are lucky enough to get the games played again, I just can't imagine a scenario where fans are going to be in the stadium. And again, that's going to crush the revenues as well.
Dave, you look at the players, and I'm wondering how much is going to work against Scott Boras, Tony Clark, when you have the larger section of those players making, you know, let's say $3 million and less, you know, on the bottom 40% of each team. And they've already taken the pay cut that they have. Those guys seem to me, and even the guys making the minimum, to be the ones who are going to end up taking the biggest hit here. And I'm wondering if the owners are ultimately counting on them to be the ones that fold and make this more of a situation as we saw with the NFL, where those players making less money couldn't afford to miss all that time.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think, Chris, that they have that type of time period to kind of keep pressing. You know, if they're planning on coming back to spring training in June, that's pretty quick. That's 2 weeks away at this point. So you don't have a lot of time to keep applying pressure here. I would have to think they would have to come to an agreement fairly quickly. But you're right. The guys on the lower end of the spectrum here aren't making any money this year. You know, let's not forget that as part of the agreement in March, MLB did advance players $170 million to split up based on, you know, the higher end guys will be taking more of that money. The lower end guys won't. So that money runs out at the end of this month. So then you're going to start feeling the squeeze a little bit more. So again, Chris, I'd be very surprised if they couldn't come to terms on the financial part, because there can be money made here for them. And, you know, to just dismiss that, you know, just seems, I don't know, over again, we're just talking about finishing the season here. We're not talking about ripping up baseball's economic system and going on for the rest of the time.
Well, Dave, this is what I don't get then. Why are they getting into a public discussion about it? You know, why isn't it something that they're just leaving behind closed doors? Because Tony Clark and Scott Boras, nobody is going to look at those guys and be sympathetic to their plight at this point when we could be approaching 20% in unemployment in the country.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you. I mean, I feel like it could have been handled more delicately. I know that's not Scott Boras' game. You know, he's a sledgehammer kind of guy. He's not a diplomat. So I'm not surprised that he came out. And Tony Clark really has been taking a very militant stance as well with that. He's really gone hard line with this about not renegotiating it. So you have to think, you know, looking around and based on where this country's at, like you mentioned with the unemployment figures and people out of work and people really hurting, not to mention what the pandemic has done to people health-wise. So I'm surprised. You know, I would think you would take a little bit more diplomatic stance with this. I understand the principles behind it, Chris. I mean, did these free agency, what the union has fought for, not just free agency, but, you know, the salary structure and a lot of other things that go into it. They fought for it for a very long time. They've taken these principles to heart, and I don't blame them for that. You know, they're ingrained in these guys. And yet, I just feel like right now, I think you can almost kind of just, you know, not put the principles aside, but maybe just put them, you know, don't make them right at the forefront of this moment. And again, try to be more diplomatic about it.
Dave Leonard of News Daily, baseball columnist, joining us right now. Dave, one last one on this before I get to the Mets sale. And It's simply this. when you have the players who almost want to use the fact that they're dealing with all of the risk in terms of their health, it almost feels like they're using it a little bit as a weapon in this negotiation, so to speak, publicly. How much are the owners going to have to capitulate to that?
Well, I think that's one part that we did leave out here, Chris, and that's that I feel like in the past few days and also in these negotiations that the players are kind of a counterbalance here and almost a little bit of the voice of reason. I mean, when they found these health concerns, I feel like that's something that's been left out when MLB keeps putting all these plans forward. And listen, all these plans about getting the game back, on paper, they're great. You know, I was excited about the Arizona Biodome. I was excited about the Grapefruit Cactus League thing. I was excited about the three-team mega divisions. On paper, they all looked great. But the health part of this is something that really only the players have brought up and mentioned that, hey, we have a lot of things to figure out. I mean, how are we going to do testing? How are we going to protect not only us but the game operations people? And just down the line, there's a lot of details that have to be worked out on that, and I don't blame them if they want to make sure that's ironed out before they agree to anything.
All right, Dave, we know no J-Lo, no A-Rod owning the Mets. Where do we stand here with the Mets as far as their sale is concerned?
Man, well, I mean, experts that I've talked to about it, and I've written a couple things about it while this A-Rod stuff was going on, I mean, it has to be in the deep freeze for right now. I mean, this is just not a market where you can, A, you know, find a partner, a big pocketed investor, as A-Rod and J-Lo found out, and B, you know, the Mets would be selling at the bottom of the market. And as it was framed to me by people, you know, who follow this stuff very closely, the financials part of it, you know, it would have to be such a sale out of desperation and able to do that. Like, you know, there was a lot of talk about A-Rod and J-Lo kind of swooping in and picking up the Mets on the cheap. Well, you know, you don't sell the Mets on the cheap. You know, it's a big, prized, lucrative organization, despite the problems they've had recently financially. And so I just don't anticipate that sale going through until things even out. I mean, the economy will come back eventually. You know, the stock market has been doing what it's doing. But I think, you know, certainly the Mets and the Wilpons need things to stabilize before they can talk seriously about a sale. And in this uncertain climate, Chris, nobody's really going to step forward and put together a buy for that. It's just not the climate for that right now.
Well, my question is this related to it. Can they afford to hang in for a while on it?
Well, they've been surprisingly resilient in the past. They've made it through some pretty tough times.
Yeah, they have.
yeah, so we can bring up plenty of them. But so, unless, Chris, in the coming weeks, okay, say baseball isn't able to get going again, and say there's even more of a financial squeeze, then you may see something along that. I still think we're months away from something like that before baseball, you know, has to throw in the towel. I think they can keep trying for a little while. I shouldn't say months, maybe a month or two. But I think you're really going to need to see more of a squeeze and some more hardship in baseball before that comes to a point where it becomes to that sort of desperation. Chris, we don't really know what the books look like behind the scenes and how desperate they could be. The fact that they haven't done it yet and the fact they were able to push Steve Cohen out makes me think they can still hang on for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling they're going to end up back at the table with him because, you know, if you're unable to come up with anybody else that's really been in the ballpark so far, you know, I'm not telling him to go make a bad deal, but to cut off your nose to spite your face because you're not happy about how some of those negotiations went, that maybe some of it became public, that just doesn't seem like great business.
No, I mean, I agree with you, too. I mean, it's going to be quite the scenario when they have to go back to Steve Cohen and sell the team for about $600 million less than he was going to pay for it before. So, yeah, it's crazy. I'm very surprised that it fell apart as it did. You know, I thought Cohen was a good fit there. So did MLB initially. So that was really a stunner. And where they go from there, there's just not a lot of people out there. Chris, you know, we're talking about a very niche market, you know, spending, you know, $2.5 billion for a baseball team. As much as everybody wants to own the Mets, there's not a lot of people that can come up with that kind of money. So, like you said, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Steve Cohen get back in this.
Okay, all of the money stuff aside with MLB and the players right now, Dave, and it's a little unfair because none of us really truly know, but give me a percentage or a date. Now, give me a date when we're going to have baseball this year in front of no fans. When is it going to happen?
Well, I mean, Chris, I think the closest they're going to get is to maybe start up some sort of spring training. And I just think I feel like things are just going to start springing up at that point, and it's going to be tough to plug the leaks. And when I say leaks, I mean people coming down with it, you know, either whether players, somebody tested positive, or even the states and cities that are hosting them. You know, you may just have outbreaks around these teams. You know, you see a lot of states reopening. A lot of people aren't sure if that's the right thing to do. So all of a sudden, you'll start to see more outbreaks again. So, listen, the places that have succeeded in getting baseball back on the field, South Korea, Taiwan, have done an amazing job containing this virus. Even so, Chris, I mean, it just came out today that South Korea is worried about trying to contain another outbreak now. I just think what we know about the virus and how we've been able to handle it so far, I just think the environment isn't right for it. And listen, MLB has to try. NBA has to try. The NFL has to try. That's what they do. And I think they can keep pushing. But I really feel like the pushback up from a public health standpoint and the risks involved, I really think is going to be too much to actually see a regular season baseball game on the field. I hope I'm wrong, Chris. Right? I mean, I want baseball back as much or more than anyone. But I just feel like my gut says I think it's a real tough thing to do in this environment right now.
He always brings it. He's Dave Lennon of Newsday. Follow him on Twitter at DP Lennon, LENNON. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Chris, be well. Talk to you soon,
man. Dave Lennon.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.